Hi everyone, we're going to be looking at John's Gospel. We're working our way through John's Gospel, so we're John chapter 6 and verse 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit we will understand your word, and that by your Spirit you will enable us to live it out as we seek to remain in you. Amen. In this passage, when Jesus approaches the disciples as they're in the boat, he says, "It is I, do not be afraid." It is a statement of fact. It is a reality. It is him. It's present tense. It's in the now. It is. And I, it's personal. You know me. You know who I am. It's not someone else. There is no one else. I am who I am. And on that basis, on the fact that it is I, or we might say it is me, but I think that's grammatically incorrect. It is I. On that basis, he says, do not be afraid. When I first started reading the Old Testament when I was younger, I suddenly realized, oh, I've read that before. Look back, yeah. And then later on, oh, that's that again. And I started making a note of the times when God in his word said, I am with you, do not be afraid, or words to that effect. And I started making, and I wondered, has anyone else noticed this before? And I started making a list so I could tell people. But apparently, 365 times in the Bible, God says, I am with you, do not fear, or something on those lines. One for every day of the year. No, I haven't counted them. That's what I'm told. One for every day of the year. And, as you know, all these words are for everyone in the audience. We're going to read John 6, 16 to 24. This account in John 6 happens in the night. The day before, the day just finished, was a busy day when thousands gathered on the hillside. We looked at that last week, listening to Jesus, and then Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the next day, the day after this night, Jesus will again be talking to the crowds who will have pursued him on the other side of the lake, and he will explain about the bread and the feeding and declare himself the bread of life. And we look at that next week. So this week, this night, the disciples are battling their way across the lake against the wind, and Jesus comes to them. So let's read. When evening came, I'm going to start actually in verse 14, if you don't mind. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed three or three and a half miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with the disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search for Jesus. Someone asked me what the sermon was about, and I said, Jesus walks on water to go to the 12 who are in a boat. And the response was, oh. And then I said, and then immediately they arrived at the other shore. And the response was, so it's bonkers. And you know, they're right, it is bonkers. People do not walk on water. That's why we have windsurfing and supfboards and aerofoils and all that stuff, because we do not walk on water. And to add to that, the disciples had been struggling on the oars because the wind was in their face. They couldn't sail. They were struggling on the oars and were trying to make progress in stormy conditions. And then suddenly they reach their destination. Again, that just doesn't happen. Jesus here gives a powerful, visible demonstration of his power over the created world, over the laws of physics and even time. And this just does not happen. This is why John counts this among the signs. Another sign in that he sets out in his gospel, a sign that prompts us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. The only ones there that night were the disciples, the 12 that he had chosen. And he comes to them in their distress and he demonstrates his power and he says to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Now I'd imagine the disciples were exhausted. I'd say Jesus was exhausted as well. They'd had a crazy day on the hillside, thousands of people, being organized and then being told to sit and then catering for them and then clearing up baskets of leftovers, 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples, as it were. Then the crowd went and they wanted to make Jesus king. Jesus quenches that idea. And in this account in Matthew and Mark, it says Jesus immediately sent the disciples away, but he did not go with them. Now they're in the boat, heading across the lake. I get the impression that it was a clear trip when they started, but the wind blows up. It's adverse wind. It's in their face. So they end up having to row, and it is hard going. By the middle of the night, there are still only a few miles out, about maybe at best halfway across the lake, struggling on the oars. Now, at least four of them are seasoned fishermen, so they might have been used to it. But then there's the tax collectors and there's others. I'm not sure how happy they were to be there in that circumstance, how well they were at handling a boat, being tossed around, being splashed, not comfortable, straining and struggling to make progress against the wind. And then if that's not enough, something happens that totally freaks them out. Matthew says that they thought they saw a ghost. Jesus comes to them walking on the waves. Now, he could have passed them by. He could have met them on the other shore. But his purpose was to come to them. Mark says he saw them in their distress and he came to them. Matthew tells us the account of Peter getting out of the boat and walking towards Jesus and sinking. John doesn't mention this. And I wonder, is it because he wants the drama to be focused on Jesus and the words that Jesus speaks? And I wonder, in the years that followed, as the disciples would meet and chat, did they account that night? Do you remember? I thought we were never going to make it. And then I was so terrified. And then we heard those words. It is I, do not be afraid. And I wonder, as they looked back, what lessons did they draw from that night? What encouragements did they draw from that night in their ministry later? And in preparing for this morning, I was thinking, well, what can we take from this passage? What encouragements can we take as we try, as we continue on our journey of faith with Jesus? As Jesus comes to us and says, it is I, do not be afraid. So there's three areas I'm going to look at from this passage. One, we can take encouragement when we are struggling to make progress. We can take encouragement when we are fearful, and we can take encouragement when we are tempted. I'm just going to take a sip of water. So when we're struggling to make progress, the disciples that night were struggling to make progress. For us, when life is a struggle and you feel you're just not getting anywhere, when a relationship is not working out the way you'd hoped, when you're working away and you're not seeing results, when you're trying but you're not going forward, when what I do is not the good I want to do, or the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep on doing, to borrow the words from Romans 7. When old bad habits come back and you feel like you're not making progress. In church ministry, when it is slow, or in outreach, when there's little fruit. When you fail or struggle to understand aspects about God and what he has done. It says the disciples did not understand. Mark says that in Mark 6. In this instance, the disciples did not understand, and their hearts were hard. So when we are struggling to make progress, we feel like we're getting nowhere, we can remember the words of Jesus. It is I. Do not be afraid. When Jesus comes into the boat, when Jesus comes into our lives, he brings light and he brings life. Our circumstances may not change, but we change. We are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. We are born of the Spirit of God. We do not struggle by ourselves. We are in him, and he is in us by his Spirit. And as we seek and as we strive to walk with him, Jesus is changing us as his Spirit works in us. He will bring the growth. He will bring the fruit. He will bring the understanding, as we read in John 14, 26. Our focus need not be and should not be on the struggle. We do not need to focus on the results. We need to focus on him, on keeping in step with him and trusting in him. Seeking first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to us as well. Luke 12. And when it comes to ministry, he is the one who brings people to himself. The results are his responsibility, as it were. Our responsibility is to daily follow him, to walk in his love and remain in his life, light. And we know we can be confident of this, that the work that he has begun in us, he will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now in this story, there are 12 people in the boat with Jesus. And here, we are more than 12 in the church, each as part of the body of Christ, working and serving together to build each other up until each one of us reaches maturity in him. So let us encourage each other, and let us consider how we might each one spur on the other towards love and good deed. And let's encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. So there are struggles, but our focus is on him. And we have each other. And he comes to us and he says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And secondly, when we are fearful, the disciples were terrified. It wasn't just dark on a lake in a storm. But they thought they saw a ghost and they freaked out. And Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid." Now fear is a normal part of life. When we come across a bull in the middle of the road, fear makes us react, get out of the way. When we see a swarm of bees coming, fear makes us take cover. But there are different levels of fear. Later in the lives, the disciples will face situations that could cause them to be fearful. They'll face opposition. They'll face rejection. They'll face angry crowds speaking in public. They'll face prison, shipwrecks, beatings and other punishments. And we experience our fears. And then there's the fear of illness or a diagnosis, things that are beyond our control. Fear when we have to speak up. Fear when we listen to the news, when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, when we see wicked people doing wicked things. And then there's the more subtle, the inner fears, fears that people will see what we are really like. Fears of rejection, fears of being overlooked, fears of not being liked, fears of missing out. All these fears can influence how we speak and how we live and how we react and how we treat people. And it goes right back, Genesis 3, when God called Adam in the garden. And Adam responds, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. As believers, we do not need to live in an atmosphere of fear. We do not want these fears to take root in our lives. We do not want these fears to rule us or dictate how we live. We read in 2 Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. When we are willing to let Jesus into the boat, let Jesus into our lives, he brings light and he brings life. He brings love. He brings an abundance of steadfast love. And John, one of the disciples in the boat, later he writes, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we know that Jesus has dealt with the punishment. On the cross, Jesus has taken the punishment on himself. And we are set free from these fears and we are free to focus on Jesus, the one who feeds 5,000 and can meet our needs. The one who walks on water, the one who has power to do the impossible, the one who has laid down his life, the one who has conquered death, the one who has rose victorious, the one who now sits in heaven interceding for us, the one who one day will come again in glory, and the one who today says, it is I, do not be afraid. One commentator said, fear is banished by the realization of Jesus' presence. The psalmist in Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. And a practical thing, when fears do grip us, Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but being thankful, we can bring our requests to God, knowing that his peace can rule in our hearts. But when sometimes that fear, and maybe at night or whenever, a sense of fear comes over, we can go to verse 8 in Philippians 4, and we can make ourselves think of good things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learnt and received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And remember Jesus' words, it is I, do not be afraid. And thirdly, we can be encouraged by this passage when we are tempted. Now, what made me think of this from this passage? Well, the people wanted to make Jesus king by force. And I wonder for Jesus, the man, is this like Matthew 4, 8 all over again, when the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And all this I give you if you bow down to worship me. Because it says in verse 15 of the passage this morning, knowing the crowd wanted to take him by force, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He went to pray with his father, and he immediately had sent the disciples away. So we know that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin, as we read in Hebrews 4. When we are tempted, we can recall the words of Jesus, "It is I, do not be afraid," knowing that he is with us, knowing that he has been there before, knowing that he understands, and knowing that with him, we can avoid going any further, avoid acting on that temptation. We read in 1 Corinthians, "No temptation has seized you except that which is common to all people. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." When we face a temptation, an evil thought, a pride-filled moment, an angry feeling, a wrong sexual desire, an urge to retaliate, words that you want to say to hurt someone, can I suggest two practical things? First of all, say no. And maybe actually, out loud, say no. Take Titus 2:12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And sometimes it helps to actually say no out loud, if not in your head, to help you move on. Another is to do what Jesus did. He left. I work in finance, and over the years I've handled a fair bit of money. One day about 30 years ago, I was sitting in my office, it was in Nairobi, it was I had about $30,000 cash on my desk. And I thought, I could take some of this, no one would know. In fact, I could take a few thousand and no one would know. It would really help. So I packed up and I went home. And I don't know if I had actually stayed there, would I have actually taken that cash, and where would it have led me then later on? So I left. I did what Jesus did, I left. But also, if at that day I remembered the words from back in Genesis, when Joseph was being approached, as it were, by Potiphar's wife who wanted him. And it said he left his cloak in her hands and he ran out of the house. Sometimes, faced with temptation, the practical thing is to leave. So when we are tempted, we can remember what Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Knowing that he is with us, we can resist that temptation. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you that you are light in the darkness. We thank you that in our darkness, in our distress, in our struggling, you came to us and you say, "It is I, do not be afraid." You come with light and you come with love and you come with life. Father, I pray that if anyone here has not already welcomed you into the boat, into their lives, I pray that they will do so today. And we pray that we will together keep our eyes on you. And we pray that we will live and serve in the power of your Holy Spirit, for your honour and for your glory. Amen. And can I finish our service with words of John 14. When Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Amen. That brings our service to a close. Thank you.